This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So with that in mind about kind of the idea of tiefling origin and some visual concepts of what they look like, so you have a picture of what a tiefling could visualize as in your head, let's actually talk about their traits, like the actual playable traits that you benefit from when you as a player are using a character that's a tiefling.
Right. So the tiefling traits are pretty great. They're like up there, I think, with like elves and such, with the number of things that are there. And there's a conceit in the player's handbook that this tieflings have made a deal with Asmodeus, the Lord of the Nine Hells, or Asmodeus.
Yeah, also,
if you prefer.
Disclaimer, we don't know if we're pronouncing any of these names right. So we're just going to like out ourselves first that if we say this wrong, I'm not going to be surprised.
So Asmodeus and Asmodeus are both official. I'll just put that out there. I say Asmodeus because Asmodeus has a nice flourish to it, but it's slower in conversation, so I say Asmodeus. And those are my reasons, and I'll die on this hill. Kidding. You can at me. So this is by default kind of like the Asmodeus version of the tiefling, and we'll in a minute get into like all the other versions that we've discovered in our research, but at the stock model, the factory setting default, is an intelligence score goes up by one and the charisma score goes up by two, which is great because almost all non-divine casters use either intelligence or charisma as their spellcasting attribute. And so that makes them really great being spellcasters. And that's how I typically see them being played, although there are plenty of roguish versions of tieflings as well.
And I love how those play into like what we talked about with just their existence, because you have to be smart if people aren't going to trust you. You have to kind of have that those street smarts. And then with charisma, people just naturally look at you and they're intimidated. Because again, charisma isn't just like a performance on a stage. It's intimidation. It's some of those other side effects. And you just, your existence exudes that.
Yeah, exactly. Just like we talked about the cosplayers, they walk by and we're like, what?
Yeah.
Because they have that bonus to charisma. And so everyone notices them. Their age, they're very similar to humans. They mature at the same rate, but they can live a few years longer. It doesn't really say how long, but it's like human plus. And then alignment, they do not have an innate tendency towards evil. But many of them end up there, going back to our Slytherin reference before. But basically, they are going to lean towards chaotic because the law and order and all these things have never really helped them in the past. Why start now? So chaotic is kind of the leaning going there. Similar builds to humans, not surprising since they've come from humans. Size is medium, and the base walking speed is 30 feet like most medium-sized creatures. And then we get into the fun stuff. They have dark vision, so they can see in dim light within 60 feet as if it were bright light, and in darkness if it was dim light. And as always, they can't see color in darkness, just shades of gray. Then they also have resistance to fire damage, which makes perfect sense. And then they have something really cool called Infernal Legacy. And so this is some innate spell casting that levels up with the character, not because of its class, but because of the race. So they know the Thaumaturgy cantrip, which is from the cleric spell list, which lets them do spooky seance stuff, basically.
Yeah, it's you get your choice of like five different little like prestidigitation type random tricks that you can do, which I think are actually awesome because you can like throw your voice and like send whispers or screams somewhere else, like things that can't actually hurt somebody.
Shut and open windows.
Yes, it's great.
I call it the seance spell because if you go back and look at the list and think about someone who's like a huckster or a charlatan doing a seance, this is the one spell you need, and you're golden. You're going to be on
TV. And it's a cantrip, so you can do it for the entire faux seance.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good. And then when they reach third level, they can cast Hellish Rebuke as a second level spell, which is a reaction. So basically, if someone hits you with a melee attack, you can spend your reaction right then to engulf them in flame with your own personal notashi. Then at fifth level, they can cast Darkness once, again with this trait. And all of those recharge on a long rest, and Charisma, of course, is a spellcasting ability for those. And then languages, they can speak, read, and write Common and Infernal.
What else speaks Infernal offhand, you know? Because that's more of a unique one. Like, that's not something that many races are necessarily going to have, right?
No. Devils. They're the only ones who speak it naturally. There are other like, you know, races in monster listings that have Infernal on there, but it's devils basically, because demons speak Abyssal, which is different than Infernal, but they're both bad news. So it's kind of clearly marked. It's not like Primordial, where it's like there's a lot of options there, or Sylvan, and Infernal is just the devil tongue. It's Parcel tongue? No, it's devil tongue. try not to lean too much into the Harry Potter there. So Infernal. And I love, too, that since we know the lore, that they don't have, like, homelands, and they'll live in little pockets of other societies or perhaps little enclaves, but they are infused with this Infernal power. It's not like they're practicing, you know, cult members. It's not like they're teaching their kids Infernal as they grow up, because that would only make things worse. What this implies to me is they're just genetically predisposed as a result of this mark to just know Infernal.
It's like that story, that news story a long time ago that I heard, where somebody like went into a coma or got knocked unconscious, and when they woke up, they could speak fluent Mandarin.
Yes.
And it was just like this medical anomaly, because like they had no affiliation with that country.
Right, because,
like,
they live in Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's what it reminds me of, is like, how do I know this? I don't know. It just comes to me.
Well, like in the Percy Jackson series, all of the demigods, they have a dyslexia because their brains are hardwired to read ancient Greek. And trying to read something else kind of messes it up. And so, like, you know, he goes to a museum and there's like all the inscriptions on all the old statues and carvings and stuff. And he can just read it. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. So it's kind of like that. That's what that implies to me. It doesn't explicitly say it, but that's what makes sense to me, which I think is kind of cool.
And then going back real quick, you mentioned this, but I just want to clarify it with the Infernal Legacy, some of those like kind of magical traits that you get. With the exception of the Thaumaturgy, the other ones you can only do once per long rest.
Right.
So it's not like normal casting where you're necessarily tracking spell slots, or you can do it a couple of times. The Thaumaturgy is a cantrip, so you are able to just do it over and over and over and over again, from my understanding. But the other two, you do it one time before you sleep, and that's all you get. And so it's kind of one of those like Hail Marys for both of these things, in my opinion, of like, you don't use it unless you really need it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also one per each of those spells. So it's not like if you cast Hellish Rebuke as this feature, that means it shuts off your opportunity to do darkness later. You can do each one of them individually once per long rest.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Jason and I had. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you're always the first to know every time a new episode is published. They come out every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron on our Patreon account, every Monday and Thursday, since you'll get them a day early. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can always follow us on social media by looking up the Compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.